grace that is Christ's gift to us, the love of God, and the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
First reading is from the third chapter of Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. And upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness.
Wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits.
Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away and our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against him and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven of their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. A couple of my favorite preachers, Dan Erlander and Barbara Lundblad, whenever this passage in Scripture, this story of Adam and Eve come up, they tend to want to preach on that text, and they call it pointless preaching. And so I've decided that I would give my version of a pointless sermon. In the beginning, God created us. Not one or two, but a bunch of us, lots of us, because God knew that we loved to play. And it's true, the more the merrier. And God gave us a beautiful garden, a park, an Eden, where we could play and delight. And we played. We played all day and into the night. We splashed in the ocean. We rolled down hillsides. We ran with the wind, and we frolicked until the day the snake came. At least, I was told it was a snake. It might have been someone in a business suit with a cell phone. It might have been a theologian with a big, fat book. But we were told it was a snake. And the snake came to us, all of us who were playing on the hillside and splashing in the water and rolling down the hills and frolicking. And the snake said, "This is foolish. You're wasting your time. None of this makes any sense at all unless you keep score." We had no idea what the snake meant. But then the snake said something really interesting. The snake said, "Whoever gets the most points gets this apple." We had no idea what points were. So the snake said, "I will teach you." So the snake taught us how to keep score, how to keep score with our running and our jumping and our climbing. Whoever climbed the highest got the most points. Whoever ran the fastest got the most points. Whoever rolled down the hill the best got the most points. Well, there were some things like frolicking that were just too hard to keep score, so we finally just gave that up totally. And we kept score for everything we did. We chalked up points for everything. We kept track so that we knew who had the most points, because surely all of us wanted to get that apple. Soon, we were spending so much time keeping score that we didn't have time to play. Life was all about earning points and earning more points than the others. Then God came into the garden. And God was wroth. God was very, very wroth. God wanted to know, where'd you get this idea of keeping score? Who had told us? Who told us about earning points? And then God told us we had to leave the garden. And more than that, God told us that we were not going to live forever like we thought we would. Well, it really doesn't matter. God just doesn't understand things. My cumulative lifetime score is now 14,263. My goal is to reach 15,000 by the time I die, maybe more. Why hadn't God told us about earning points? Why didn't God tell us about keeping score? It was the snake that taught us about that. And now I'm teaching our children to keep score. I think that they would be able to reach 15,000, maybe 20,000, or even more. Because now we are free to earn as many points as we can. We're free to keep making points until the day we die. And we'll teach our children and our grandchildren how to make points and how to keep score. I'm really grateful to the snake. Well, God kept trying to find us and to slow us down. God kept saying to us things like, remember who and whose you are. Remember the strangers. Remember the widows and the orphans. Remember when you cut your field to leave some on the edges so that the poor and the hungry can eat. That's no way to get ahead. So we just kept on working on perfecting our scorekeeping and making more points. God told us that there were really only two things that we needed to remember. God said, love me and love one another. But who on earth can play a game or live a life with only two rules? So we wrote pages and pages and pages and pages of rules and more pages of rules. God said, remember the Sabbath. But we didn't have time to rest. We had to keep score. We had to keep racking up the points and winning the games. I want our children to be getting a better cumulative lifetime score than my 14,263, remembering the Sabbath was pointless. God didn't understand our kind of game at all. It's like God isn't even interested in our points. And then an ordinary person arrived from Nazareth. We said to ourselves, did any winner ever come from Nazareth? You don't get many points being from there. And God breathed on him in a particular way. And he stood up in his hometown synagogue, and when he read from the book of Isaiah, it was as though it was about him. The Spirit of God has anointed me, he said. And then, do you know what he did? He went around telling people, you don't need points. He sat down next to a Samaritan woman by a well and talked to this woman with a loser sort of life and told her, you don't need points. He sat down next to Nicodemus, a man who was filled with doubts and questions and not so many points. And he said to him, you don't need points. To people possessed by demons, to the blind and the lame, to the rich and the powerful, the people of influence, to the outcasts and the poor, to all people, he kept saying, you don't need points. And those who were gathered around him, listening to him about the kingdom of God in the midst of them, soon looked at each other, and they looked at him and said, this kingdom is pointless. Well, he didn't say anything. He just smiled. They had pointless banquets where there were no guest lists and no priority seating. They had pointless picnics on the hillside where everyone got to eat and there was still some left over. Everyone thought he was crazy. He was not out to gain points. He wasn't even trying to gain points with his mother and his family. Wasn't he concerned that he was living a pointless life? He drew a circle instead of a tally sheet, and he said that's what's important. He drew a huge circle and said the most important thing is being in this family circle. He said, indeed, this is what it means to be God's pointless people. Life is about loving and doing God's will. That's what brings us into this family circle. It isn't, and it never was, about keeping points. People tried to tell him that blood was thicker than water, that he should be concerned about what others were thinking about him, about how he could gain more points. But he only talked about baptism and love. He refused to draw a line for tally points and divide people into categories of who has the most. He would only draw that pointless circle that took everyone in. Then one day there was a pointless parade into the city, with the children leading the way, waving palm branches in the air instead of swords. How pointless can you get? Shortly after that parade, they put him on trial, and then they stopped him good as dead. They sealed up the place where they put him to rest with a huge stone so that not even a whisper could escape that would say to anyone, you don't need points. And that was that. The snake won a lot of points that day. But God wasn't interested in points. Never was, never will be. God is only interested in love and in that all-inclusive family circle. God raised Jesus to eternal life, and the message of this truth continues to be told. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves and in our trying to earn points, or even trying to take points away from others. Sometimes we worry so much about what the score is that we forget about that all-inclusive family circle of love. The truth is, you don't need points. I know it sounds crazy, but God isn't interested in keeping score. God is only interested in loving us and in our loving God and loving one another. God isn't interested in how many points we're gaining in this life. God is only interested in that family circle that takes in everyone. God is only interested in loving us and in our loving God and one another. Living in that family circle of God's love with Jesus Christ really is pointless. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.